live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time here on this Monday, January 29th, 2018. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And we have a lot to get to on today's show. And to answer your question off the top, no, we will not be talking about any X's and O's. No, we won't be diving into how Michigan State was able to top Maryland. However, I do have a few takeaways away from that game and what it means to the program during this very dark moment. But on today's Current Sports, we will have continuing coverage centered on the Michigan State University scandal. And ESPN's reporting of the many instances that right now on the surface seem to be clear neglect in addressing sexual assault as it pertains to many Michigan State men's football players, as well as Michigan State men's basketball players. We'll get to that report later on this hour, and we'll, of course, also talk about how this entire story unraveled, beginning with the Larry Nassar scandal, in which we saw over the course of 7 days, 156 survivors of Nassar come forth and share their stories in front of Judge Rosemarie Aquilina and their abuser, Larry Nassar. And we'll have a weekend recap. It was a very eventful weekend, as many things occurred throughout the week last week and also on Friday night and yesterday with the Michigan State men's basketball game. We'll have a weekend recap of the latest in the Michigan State University scandal. You get to hear what Mark D'Antonio had to say right before tip-off as Michigan State played Wisconsin at the Breslin Center, and you'll get to hear what Tom Izzo had to say after the win over Maryland, in which he had an interesting exchange with an ESPN Outside the Lines reporter. And then later on this hour, we will welcome to the show a man who covered Michigan State 13 years on the Michigan State Sports Beat, 4 for the Detroit Free Press, 9 with the Lansing State Journal. He has covered the World Series, the NBA Finals, the NFL, plenty of high school sports, minor league baseball, and also the 2012 Summer Olympics, as he followed Jordan Weber, DeWitt native, the most famous Olympian in this area. He followed Jordan Weber and her quest for gold back in 2012. And also had an interaction with Larry Nassar, who was, of course, the team's doctor during that time. Joe has produced a really riveting piece for the Tennessean that encompasses so much emotion, as you can imagine. Joe Rexroth will join us around 1:30. And then on the back end of the show, as I just mentioned, we will talk about the win for Michigan State men's basketball over Maryland and why it meant so much to Tom Izzo and the team. We encourage you, as we customarily do throughout this hour, to be a part of our airwaves. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, where we have the live stream up and running. You can comment below that video, and I will do my best to get to your comments throughout this hour. And you can even join the conversation via Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's hit you first, though, with our current sports quick hit headliners. Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette held a news conference on Saturday to update the state's investigation into Michigan State University's handling of the Larry Nassar case. Schuette announced the investigation is being led by retired Kent County prosecutor William Forsythe, who will serve as independent special prosecutor. Michigan State Police will assist in the investigation, and Assistant Attorney General Christina Grossi will serve as project manager. Schuette went on to say, quote, "No individual and no department at Michigan State University is off limits. It is abundantly clear that a full and complete investigation of what happened at Michigan State University from the president's office on down is required. The investigation is and will continue to be independent, thorough, transparent, and prompt," end quote. Forsythe served as Kent County prosecutor for 30 years, retiring after 2016. He said during his time as prosecutor, he always put victims and survivors of crime first. Los Angeles Lakers president and Michigan State University basketball legend Magic Johnson has called for accountability at the university in a series of tweets this morning. Johnson wrote in one tweet that anyone at the university who knew about an allegation of sexual assault and did nothing, quote, should be fired. He went on to say, quote, "If anyone was aware of the sexual assault happening to women on the MSU campus and from the office of the president, board of trustees, athletic department, faculty, and campus police and didn't say or do anything about it, they should be fired. Cookie and I stand in support of the victims and their families as they embark on the road to recovery, and I support the movement to hold everyone involved accountable. The roles of the new president, board of trustees, athletic department, faculty, campus police, and students will be to work together to create new policies and procedures to ensure this never happens again. As a Spartan, I love Michigan State University and want to work with Coach Izzo and the administration and the students to be a part of the solution in any way that I can." Again, that coming from current Los Angeles Lakers president of basketball operations and former Michigan State basketball star, MSU legend, Irvin Magic Johnson. Two less important matters. The number 6 Michigan State men's basketball team pulled together a fierce second half rally to overcome a 13-point halftime deficit en route to a 74-68 victory yesterday at Maryland. Miles Bridges struggled almost all afternoon, but Michigan State now wins its fourth straight, 20-3 overall, 8-2 in the Big Ten Conference. MSU struggled shooting to open the first half, making just 9 of 33 attempts. Bridges was silent, making just 1 3-pointer. In 7 shot attempts. Maryland was red hot, racing out to an 11-3 lead by the first media timeout. A 19-9 run gave the Terps a 37-24 lead at halftime. That all changed at the half, though, and the Spartans started making shots and preventing the Terps from doing the same. MSU made 16 of 30 shots after the half and sealed the victory by making 11 of 12 free throw attempts in the final minute after the Terrapins cut it back to a two-point game with 1:43 remaining. Izzo hugged and high-fived his players and assistant coaches as time ran off the clock. Izzo was clearly very emotional after that win. We don't normally see that from Tom, but of course, in light of everything that had happened leading up to that game throughout the week, you can understand why. We'll have more on what Izzo had to say after that game in just a moment. He spoke with the media, and right off rip, he was asked some very specific and tough questions by ESPN's Outside the Lines. We'll get more on that in just a moment. The Michigan men's basketball team returns home tonight at 7 p.m. You can catch this game on Fox Sports 1 to host a Northwestern club at 13-9, 4-5 in the Big Ten Conference. Northwestern, that's won two straight and is absolutely in the midst of fighting for a return to the NCAA tournament as February now approaches. The Wildcats have been one of the more interesting stories in the league this season. Northwestern brought back the core of its team from a year ago, but hasn't been able to produce similar results this season thus far. Now, Michigan leads the Big Ten in fewest turnovers per possession. Northwestern ranks sixth at 17%, which isn't exactly a terrible number. Now, when Michigan and Northwestern play, turnovers and extra possessions are huge. The team that takes care of the ball and limits extra trips will be in good shape, right? This will be the first of two Michigan-Northwestern games in a span of 10 days as the Wolverines will visit the Wildcats on February 6th. Michigan State Gymnastics celebrated its 12th annual breast cancer awareness meet with a season-high score of 195.525 in a quad meet at Jenison Fieldhouse on Saturday night. As you can imagine, there was a lot of emotion in the building at Jenison because the program at Michigan State and Michigan State Athletics are right now in the public eye. The Spartans improved to 3-3 overall, 1-2 in Big Ten action. MSU will compete against Penn State in the Tumbles and Takedowns meet next Sunday. I should say this upcoming Sunday at 1 p.m. inside of Jenison Fieldhouse as both the gymnastics and the Michigan State wrestling team will be both in action. The Detroit Pistons have made starting shooting guard Avery Bradley available in trade talks, league sources telling ESPN that. So far, Detroit's asking price for Bradley is significant. Bradley is scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent this summer and could command an annual salary in the $20 million range. The Pistons have been one of the most aggressive teams in pursuit of improving themselves prior to the February 8th trade deadline. Detroit has lost 8 straight games, 12 of its past 15, since starting point guard Reggie Jackson was lost with an ankle injury. Bradley is averaging 15 points per game, shooting just, 40.9% from the floor, down from 16.3 points and 46.3% a year ago with Boston. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, we are focusing on really a trying time here at Michigan State University in light of the Larry Nassar sex abuse scandal, in light of the ESPN report, really focusing on the Michigan State men's basketball program as well as Mark D'Antonio's Michigan State football program and a culture of alleged sexual abuse. We're taking your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527.
As twilight fell, the crowd swelled around The Rock, MSU's emblematic monolith that often serves as a potent student political billboard. The stone bore the names of all the girls and women who testified at Larry Nassar's sentencing in Ingham County, as well as the words thank you and a heart painted in teal, the official color of sexual assault awareness. The assembly was made up overwhelmingly of women, though there were a fair number of male supporters. MSU freshman Aaron Marisi was one of the few who carried a sign. On one side, the faces of former President Luana Simon and outgoing athletic director Mark Hollis were X'd out. On the other, the faces of MSU trustees Joel Ferguson and Brian Breslin, two more officials Maracy wants to see leave. Maracy had a personal motivation for coming to the protest.
I have a cousin who did gymnastics in the Grand Rapids area and still does, and from what I understand, she's visited Nassar before for treatments, and I don't think anything happened, but, you know, it's a personal connection to me because it was my cousin, so I want people to make sure that they know that this isn't Michigan State as a whole. It's just the administration, and it's just the president and the chairman and the board as a whole, not the students. We don't like them, and we don't want them here any more than anyone else does.
The rally showcased a deep bench of speakers, from student government leaders to faculty to local politicians. Gubernatorial candidate Gretchen Whitmer was among them. Dressed in a teal blazer, the former state senator and interim Ingham County prosecutor revealed something painfully personal.
And I'm here as a survivor myself of rape as a freshman on this campus. We deserve better. We deserve leaders who are looking out for the students, and I am more hopeful than ever because of what I see here today. If this is going to be the campus that we deserve, it's going to be driven by the people standing right here. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for lending your support to the survivors, and thank you for giving me hope.
Others voiced equally powerful sentiments. Anna Pegler Gordon, an associate professor in the MSU James Madison College, satirically riffed from the university alma mater, MSU Shadows.
MSU Shadows protected Larry Nassar for more than 20 years. They protected coaches and senior administrators who refused to see the truth that was right in front of them. The truth that survivors told them. And MSU's shadows are protecting the Board of Trustees and too many senior officials still today. But we are here tonight to say, no more shadows.
But it was a student who rallied the crowd to carry the mission of creating long-term cultural change at MSU into the future. Yorama Apayonge Danka is with the Associated Students of Michigan State University.
I implore every single person here, you guys are the ones who care, you're passionate. Please go out, take your passion with you, and bring other people to the table. And that is how we will create lasting cultural change at this university. We are the ones who determine the culture. It's not the administration. We are the heart of this institution. And it's time we act like it. Thank you so much.
And then it was time to march. Student Angela Sedano donned a sign which read, "Don't trust the trustees."
Just hearing about all the administration, that 14 to 15 that knew and did nothing about it, I think it's absolutely corrupt and horrible. And I just pray that something will be done about it.
What's next for you after tonight's march? I mean, are you prepared to go further with this?
Oh, absolutely. I plan on making myself someone that's maybe an outlet for someone that needs to speak out about sexual abuse or sexual violence.
Time is up! Time is up! Time is up! Time is up!
Fired up and fed up, the crowd, which had suddenly morphed into an army, marched across campus, swinging west down the middle of Grand River Avenue in East Lansing under police escort. The procession ended symbolically at the Hanna Administration Building, the epicenter of the storm that had engulfed Spartan Nation. Their chants echoed and faded in the January air, but their message seems destined to reverberate at MSU for a long time to come. For WKAR, I'm Kevin Lavery.
Much thanks to our very own Kevin Lavery for bringing that report to us. And yes, it was quite the scene on Friday night here on the campus of Michigan State University at The Rock, as many of the student body here at MSU gathered together to call out Michigan State University on really the university's neglect. And that's how I want to start this before I kind of put in perspective what has transpired, and so much has in such a short amount of time. Before I put in perspective what has happened, I first off want to commend the students here at Michigan State University, whose voice right now is so important. So important during this very trying time. I mean, this really feels like a dream. You know, I found myself multiple times throughout the weekend just kind of sitting back and saying to myself, wow, is this really happening at the university where I got my degree from, the university that I've been proud of for so long? Is this really taking place? The world right now is watching Michigan State University's every move. But I want to commend the student body, because what I saw, if there's any good that has come out of this unfortunate tragedy, is that it seems like the student body has grown closer together and is banding together as one to call out the leadership here that failed so many young women and girls. I saw unity at The Rock on Friday night. I saw unity as I covered the Michigan State men's basketball game as the Spartans took on Wisconsin. The entire Izzone, just about the entire Izzone, dressed in teal T-shirts in support of the Larry Nassar survivors. And I believe the Izzone, you know, rose something like $6,000 due to those T-shirts. I felt proud in those moments. I felt really proud in those moments. And, you know, I was a guest yesterday on Impact Sports, Impact 89 FM, the student-run radio station here at Michigan State. And they had myself, as well as Ryan Schuling, local reporter and radio host here in the area, and Detroit Free Press beat reporter Chris Solari. We were all a part of that broadcast and the outstanding work that Impact is doing as students covering this, as well as the state news, Rachel Fredette and her staff. This is such an important time here at Michigan State University, and the student voice holds so much weight. To see you all band together, wow, it was quite remarkable. And I do want to pass this along to you all. Members of the Michigan State University rowing team are scheduled to meet today with several Michigan State University trustees to discuss the university's response to the Larry Nassar case. Nicole Marek is a senior on the team. She says the team is presenting a united front to, quote, fight for the safety of all, end quote, and to hold the university accountable for its failure to do so. She hopes this is the first step of many as a dialogue between students and the board. Marek explains that Nassar was the rowing team's doctor from 1998 to 2016, and there are victims of his abuse on the team right now.
I myself was a patient of Larry Nassar, and I was really lucky to have never been hurt by him in any way, but my teammates, closest friends, and all the women that I look up to that came before me in this program, they were hurt by him and put in harm's way.
Merrick adds that she's encouraged that the trustees agree to this meeting, saying, quote, it's a great first step. It speaks volumes, courtesy of our very own Scott Pohl there. It's really hard to put all of this in perspective, isn't it? It really is. And, you know, I'm reading a few comments here that come on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And there are many of you, and I've gotten multiple texts throughout the weekend, many of you that feel like, you know, ESPN is on a witch hunt right now. ESPN is just, you know, putting these stories together for ratings. And to that, I think we all need to take a pause. We need to hit the pause button, because if you are being truly honest with yourself, when you watched those E60 reports, you can't tell me that they were not disturbing. And for anyone out there who thinks that ESPN is doing this for a ratings ploy, I say, what did you expect?
What did you expect? What did you really expect? Because under the failed leadership here at Michigan State University, over 150 women and girls were sexually abused by one of the most prominent doctors here at this university. Heck, one of the most prominent doctors in sports in this entire nation, in the world for that matter. It happened right here at Michigan State University. So if Larry Nassar, if his abuse spanning back to 1997 occurred here at Michigan State University for over two decades, did you not think that the national media was going to pry further to see if there is a culture of sexual abuse here on the campus of Michigan State University? I wasn't surprised that Paula Levine, who has been working on this story for about, 3 years now, I wasn't surprised that they were going to look at other areas in MSU athletics to see if this has been a pattern. And you can't tell me that when you look at that report, when you watch those reports, you can't tell me that there aren't a lot of questions that need to be answered. I encourage everyone also to pump the brakes when it comes to calling for the jobs of Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo. What we need to all do right now, what happens right now, is that we need to see what happens with these investigations. We need to find out who knew what, when, and how did those individuals handle it. That's where we go right now. We all need to pause and put things in perspective right now. What's being reported from ESPN is very troubling, and questions need to be answered. I want to first start by recapping what happened over the weekend. Mark Hollis, former Michigan State Athletic Director, announcing his retirement as AD on Friday amid reports of sexual assaults involving football and basketball players over the past decade. And, of course, Larry Nassar's sex abuse dating back to 1997. Hollis, 10-year Michigan State AD. 11 football players have been accused of sexual assault since D'Antonio became head coach in 2007. The number accounts for 6 cases of sexual assault, including 2 cases involving a total of 4 players in 2017. I want to play right now a bite from Mark D'Antonio. Ian, if we can roll this in right now. This is what Mark D'Antonio had to say concerning the ESPN reports.
First of all, I'm going to just read this to you guys here a little bit. During this extremely difficult and challenging time for our community, I would first like to express our deepest sympathies and my deepest sympathies to the courageous survivors of Larry Nassar's abuse. It was absolutely heartbreaking to hear their stories and the pain and suffering they went through. And we are only in the beginning of the stages of the healing process for the community and even more importantly for the survivors and their families. I have received many questions and inquiries about today's reports, their latest reports. I'm here tonight to say that any accusations of my handling of any complaints of sexual assault individually are completely false. Every incident reported in that article was documented by either police or the Michigan State Title IX office. I've always worked with the proper authorities when dealing with the cases of sexual assault. We have always had high standards in this programs, and that will never change. The values that we teach to everyone in this program will be enforced. We've also always tackled problems here head on and have dealt with issues. When we find out about the problems, it has come from the police or the university authorities. I can assure you, as in last year's incident, I also immediately reported them through the proper authorities. That's really all I have to say. I want to thank you for your time. You know, I'm advised against taking any questions, but I feel completely steadfast in what I said today. I'll take two questions. Yes.
Mark, there have been erroneous rumors that you were planning on resigning. Is that absolutely
false? That is absolutely false. I'm here for Spartan Nation. I'm here for our football program and for my family. And to look the people in the eye who, I guess, instigated those reports.
Mark, did you know about the sexual assaults?
One question.
Did you know about those previous sexual assaults that was reported in that story?
They came to me from the authorities.
You knew about them at the time that
they came to me from the authorities. From the authorities. You know, when I found out about a sexual assault, I reported them immediately. That was as of last year's. So I don't want to walk out of here, but I can't answer 150 questions. I want to thank you guys for your time. I thought it was important to come and address this and look people in the eye. Thank you for your time.
Again, Mark D'Antonio before tip-off as the Michigan State men's basketball team took on Wisconsin. And you just heard what Mark D'Antonio had to say concerning the ESPN report. He followed protocol. So, if you are a Spartan fan out there, and you know that these investigations are going to take place across this campus, and you believe what Mark D'Antonio said, you have nothing to worry about. Right now, transparency, which is something that this university has lacked in this whole situation, transparency needs to happen right now. And Mark D'Antonio, if he followed protocol, and if that is what this investigation will show, he has nothing to worry about. But again, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. And this investigation will hopefully answer those questions. Again, MSU went on to play and beat Wisconsin later that night. And Tom Izzo addressed what happened throughout the week, and he began with an opening statement that voiced support for the survivors of Larry Nassar, and any questions that were directed concerning the ESPN report were directed back to his opening statement. On Sunday, yesterday, Michigan State topped Maryland on the road. After the game, ESPN investigative reporter for Outside the Lines, Tisha Thompson. Thompson was present and asked Coach Izzo follow-up questions concerning what has been reported in that ESPN piece. And here is what that interaction went like.
We all know it's been a time when there's a lot of distractions, and I think sometimes guys just have to focus in on their job and then deal with the other stuff after, and that's what they did.
As I said before, you know, we'll cooperate with any investigation, and always have. We've done it before, and we'll do it moving forward. And that's about all I'm going to say on it, that we did cooperate with everything.
We want to give you every opportunity to answer questions. There's a lot of questions. A big one is, why did Travis leave the program in 2010?
I don't know what you mean. He graduated.
He was with your staff throughout 2010. An allegation came forward later that year that from a woman and her family to the athletic department that he and two of your players raped her. He then left the program later that year in 2010. Why?
To be honest with you, I don't remember why he left. I know he went to Europe to play. And as you know, I'll still say I'll cooperate with any investigation that's made. I did it then, I did it before, and I'm not going to answer any questions that aren't pertaining to either basketball or things that I am not going to talk about right now.
Let me ask you this question then. Looking back at the way sexual assault allegations have been handled by your basketball program, do you have any regrets?
I've cooperated with every investigation, every one, and I will continue to cooperate with every investigation, every one.
What do you tell them when it comes to the way they conduct themselves around women?
Now, there's a good question. And I tell them every day, at the end of every practice, in a huddle, I go over an academic thing, a couple social things, and a basketball thing. And that takes place every single day. And it takes place after every single game and every single trip.
So again, Tom Izzo, after yesterday's Michigan State win over Maryland on the road, he was questioned by ESPN investigative reporter for Outside the Lines, Tisha Thompson. And again, there are many questions that need to be answered. And right now, again, I think we all need to just take a breath, step back, and let the investigation play out. Because these are questions, any questions that the public have, these are questions that aren't going to be answered in a day or two. And just describing the mood, I tell you, on Friday night, you know, before the game, when Mark D'Antonio walked in, you could just feel he was angry. I'm just going to call it like it is. He was angry, and he was trying his best to hold it together. He looked at everybody with a stern look in the face. And the thing about Coach D is, I mean, it's not like Coach D'Antonio, you know, the football season's over with. He doesn't have to keep doing these media availabilities. He doesn't have games to worry about right now. He doesn't have to keep facing the public. You know, he could right now just kind of sit back and just kind of, you know, wait for the investigation to take place and answer questions. He doesn't have to week after week after week being, you know, have to worry about being in the public eye. Whereas Tom Izzo, you know, we're right in the thick of things when it comes to college basketball right now. He's going to have to talk to media after every game. I'm curious to see what happens, you know, when it comes to our availability as media members for his practices. Usually, you know, Tom has a very open program. You go and watch the practices. You can talk to Izzo after. You talk to the players right there on the court. I wonder now if we will even have that available to us anymore. I know today's media availability was canceled. We aren't allowed to go to practice today and talk to Coach Izzo. I got that email earlier this morning. A lot to still get to as we have about 20 minutes left here in the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When I come back, we will welcome a man who has covered Michigan State athletics for quite some time, 13 years on the Michigan State beat for the Detroit Free Press, and 9 for the Lansing State Journal, 4 for the Detroit Free Press, 9 for the Lansing State Journal. Joe Rexroad of the Tennessean will join us here on the show. Joe is also a Michigan State alum. I want to get his thoughts on his covering of the 2012 Summer Olympics. He published a piece not too long ago centered on Jordan Weber and Larry Nassar. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Trying times here at Michigan State University. You know, I noted how at the beginning of the hour, I really just can't believe what has taken place in the span of about 2 weeks. Feels like a dream. It really does. It really does, folks. And we're taking your calls and comments on the Michigan State University scandal, Michigan State University in the public eye right now. You know, I was listening to many shows nationally, watching national coverage, and everybody is talking about what is happening on this campus right now. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Ray on line one, I see you. I'm going to get to you in just a moment. But first, I want to get to our guest for today's Current Sports, Joe Rexroad, who joined the Tennessean as a sports columnist after 13 years on the Michigan State beat, 4 for the Detroit Free Press, 9 for the Lansing State Journal. He has covered the World Series, the NBA Finals, the NFL, plenty of high school sports, minor league baseball, And yes, also the 2012 Summer Olympics following Mid-Michigan's very own gymnast Jordan Weber. Joe, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. Thanks so much for your time this Monday afternoon.
Al, thanks for having me. It's good to hear your voice, my friend.
Yeah, it's been a while. And Joe, you know, I read your piece from the Tennessean. It was published by the USA Today Network. And you kind of profiled your time covering, of course, Jordan Weber and the 2012 Summer Olympics and Larry Nassar, who was present there as well. Before I get to that piece, I just want to get your thoughts as an MSU alum who has been following this story. What has gone through your mind? I'm sure many things, many emotions, but what has gone through your mind following this down in Tennessee?
Yeah, well, I tell you, Al, the thing that hits me more than anything really is what we saw in that courtroom for the 7-day sentencing here at the Larry Nassar. I have to admit that, well, first of all, when the story first came out, my reaction was the same as I think a lot of people at Michigan State, and I think a lot of the victims of Larry Nassar, and that reaction was, there's no way. You know, come on, they can't be right. And so, you know, for me, being down here now, wrapped up my job here, and, you know, so many teams I'm writing about here, family is, you know, moved here. There's a lot of things going on. I kind of compartmentalized the whole thing. I mean, I followed along. I was horrified with each development and, you know, kind of realizing that there's a lot of people, including Jordan Weaver and her family, who are kind of coming to a horrific realization here on Larry Nassar and what he was doing and what he was about. But, I mean, that 7-day hearing, I watched as much as I could. I read stuff that I couldn't watch. And I hope it's a watershed moment. I do. I was blown away. I was emotional a lot. And it's kind of a combo of, you know, a kick in the stomach when you hear these individuals talk about specific details and how it affected their lives. But also I was so inspired by them. And especially, you know, for me, Jordan Weaver, it was personal because, you know, I covered her and her family, and I have a great deal of respect for them, and I have a feeling for them. But you know, Rachel Denhollander, of course, the way she capped it off. I mean, truly, and you know, she's a leader, and I hope that this continues to lead toward a better place on all of these matters. As far as everything, I mean, the ESPN stuff I know is getting tons of attention, and it's serious. I mean, it's you know, this has to be dealt with, and Michigan State needs to be open and transparent and answer questions. But I'm a little bit, I don't know what the word is, a little irked that it has sort of taken away the attention from what I think is the much bigger story here, and I think the much bigger problem here as well. Not that any of them are, you know, to be minimized, but the Larry Nassar story is, I mean, you're talking about one of the all-time worst, predators in our country's history, really. I mean, you can look at the duration and the number of victims, and it's a tragic story that I hope leads to better things. So that's a long answer for you, Al.
No, and thank you for that, Joe. And, you know, there's a moment in your piece where you talk about your 7-year-old daughter who is in gymnastics and loves it. And there's a lot of thoughts, I'm sure, pertaining to your daughter that go through your mind. As you stated, you know, quote, what if we had never left Michigan? That pulls at your heart, I'm sure, Joe.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of morbid. And, you know, I kind of brought that up to my wife, and she at first was like, what are you talking about? You know, but she thought about it too, and it's like, man, I mean, it's true, though. I mean, what if this hadn't happened? What if, because, you know, really the indie star at first was not focused on him. It was USA Gymnastics and the way they handled sexual assaults in general. And, you know, they found a complaint, or maybe multiple complaints. I can't recall right now, but it was Den Hollander then responding to that and going to them with full, you know, information and just really prepared to spill it and really go after him. If that doesn't happen, then he's probably, doing the same thing today, and everyone's still thinking he's this great guy and this upstanding citizen and this wonderful world-class doctor. So, you do think about that. But, of course, when you think about that, you think about anything else. You think about, the Michigan State image or whatever it is. If you think about any of those things and then you think about these people who went through this, we got to stick to what really matters here.
Very true. Joe, can you take us back to your time covering the 2012 Olympics in London? And what was your interaction like with Larry Nassar?
Yeah, it wasn't much. It was a story we wanted to do because, of course, he's a Michigan State doctor. And so I planned to do that story and really didn't get actually to write it until after it was over. Not a ton. You saw him around. Nice guy, as you thought. Sort of doing his thing. So there wasn't much. Most of the interaction was with the gymnast and with John Gettard. John Gettard, of course, was the coach of that team. And, of course, Jordan's coach for many years before that. And he was, very much, a lot has been made of that dynamic, too. The bad cop, good cop thing with him and Nassar. Sometimes with things like this, I've read a lot of coverage and a lot of commentary on this, and I know John Gettard is in a lot of trouble here, too. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of the Sandusky thing. There are a lot of people who protected him, of course, and who paid dearly for it. I don't think for a minute that John Gettard actually had any knowledge that Larry Nassar was doing these things. I think Larry Nassar took advantage of the bad cop to be the good cop. And he classic predator behavior, making them feel safe with him, giving them food, when everyone else said they couldn't have any, things like that. I think a lot of people have to be accountable here. Kathy Klagas has been accountable, of course. A lot of people dropped the ball here, tragically, but, I still think that ultimately, what Larry Nassar was doing, I don't think anyone in their right mind who knows that protects him still.
And you profile in this article as well, Joe, how Weber had an injury during her time at the 2012 Summer Olympics, and she gave a lot of credit to Nassar in helping her get back on track, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. He was a great doctor. That's part of, he was a world-class gymnastics doctor. It's unfortunate at that time, our company, things were only archived for like 2 weeks online for like a 3 or 4 year period. Because I was trying to find that piece. I knew I'd written it. I didn't remember it specifically very well. Mm-hmm. And then, I had my old editor, Stephanie Angel, send it to me. But a lot of that piece goes into the details of all these things he did to make it so, to help Jordan compete still with the fracture. And then Michaela Maroney with the toe. He's like a jade stone and all these things. He was a great doctor, too, which, of course, helps him be a predator. It was all part of that. But you read those comments back and it's chilling because, it wasn't like there was any sort of, at least from my perspective, from what I saw in my interactions, any sort of suspicion or anything like that around him at the time from these girls. Now they have said during the testimony that they at times would talk about how uncomfortable the treatments would be and things like that. But still at that time, they were enthusiastic about, praising him and the work he did as a doctor.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with Joe Rexroad. He has covered Michigan State sports for 13 years, 4 for the Detroit Free Press, 9 for the Lansing State Journal. Of course, he is now a sports columnist for the Tennessean. You can check out his piece on the Tennessean. It's entitled Covering Larry Nassar and the Most Courageous Athlete I've Ever Known. After 2012, Joe, have you had any interaction or any conversation with Jordan Weber, maybe recently, you know, when the allegations came out at first when it comes to Larry Nassar? What's your interaction been like? Have you followed her or spoken with her since?
Not Jordan, but her mom, yeah, and a little bit last week. And Jordan was Jordan's a very nice person. She was never, and I wrote this in the column, she was never really comfortable with all the media stuff. You know, I mean, there were times I really felt for her in London. I was always impressed with her family. I mean, whenever you see these gymnasts that perform at that kind of level, the amount of work it takes is incredible. The hours. I said it then when I saw it up close, and I'll say it forever. That is the most difficult sport. They are the most impressive athletes. You know, you're not competing at someone, reacting to something. You are doing a routine on a tiny balance beam or whatever you're doing, and you're working your whole life for like these brief moments where you either succeed or you fail.
Right.
And the pressure is so intense. So with Jordan, I was always struck by, I guess, the difference between her and some of the other gymnasts on the team. She just didn't love all that stuff. But her family was really good. They were not a quote-unquote like a stage family. They were really good about supporting her. You push someone, but I always felt like Jordan was self-driven. And I think in some cases you got parents who maybe push a little harder. I always thought it was a great balance there, and that's why the way Jordan was, I was blown away by her stepping up in that courtroom and addressing Larry Nassar. There was no way that was easy. I mean, there's no way it was easy for anyone, but even just getting in front of people and then to talk about the things she talked about and to talk about tearing her hamstring at 14, and that's, when the first time he did, the infamous pelvic floor treatment, which is a real treatment, but of course he twisted and turned into a salt. That's why, the headline said most courageous athlete I've ever known. And I felt that before, the way she responded from the devastation of not making the individual all-around final and then what she did to help the team win. But this, to come in here, I know it was not easy, especially because when this happened, that family at first, the reaction was not Dr. Nassar, not Larry Nassar, and that was true of a lot of people. And that's, again, part of why this story is so horrifying is, some of these things happen with parents in the room, it's kind of unfathomable. But to go back to your original question, little bit of back and forth with Rita it's a tough time right now. I mean, it's not, this is going to take time to get over and heal. There's no way it's easy. It's not going to be easy for a while. But, I think Rachel Denhollander, again, is a model of, someone being able to move on with their life and find strength and find a healthy relationship and be comfortable being open about this as she talked about, it was very difficult, but she found that, and I think that's a really important source of hope for people.
Joe, we've got 4 minutes left, but I want you to just briefly hit on what we're seeing with Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo, a huge spotlight put on their programs, a huge spotlight put on them as coaches. You know them, you've covered them. What do you make of what we're seeing right now when it comes to Coach D and Coach Iz?
Yeah, I definitely was struck Friday by the difference and almost almost like a role reversal. You know, Mark D'Antonio was angry, like you said earlier. I mean, he came out angry and defiant and, you know, obviously wanted to say that to everyone that, you know, that he didn't mishandle any of these cases. And then with Tom Izzo right now, you're seeing, like you said, they're in the middle of the season. So, I mean, you know, the presser yesterday, the outside lines reporter grilled him. Clearly right now, he's not in a position to say anything about you know, the case from 2010. You know,
right.
I don't know. I don't know where this goes from here, but, you know, I would say this. At this point, I've read everything and seen it, and frankly, I knew about a lot of this stuff. The Travis Walton stuff is new to me. Nothing else in it is. You know, we at FOIA used Freedom of Information Act for those Title IX reports on the football stuff. And, of course, Chris Solari had a story on that shortly after ESPN's ran. But, you know, I mean, to me, both of these guys, if there's something else out there that we don't know or they did something wrong, I mean, that changes things. But, you know, I would be floored. I would be very surprised if either of them stepped outside of what they're supposed to do in these situations and did something wrong. Obviously, I think that we're going to find out. I mean, I think that the spotlight is on. People are digging, and it is it's a feeding frenzy, frankly, right now. But I hope Michigan State, you know, opens up. I hope Tom Izzo at some point soon opens up and talks a little bit more about this, because I get the sense he wants to and is being told not to. At some point, Michigan State has to look more accountable and transparent than it does. It looks terrible right now as an entire thing. And so I hope decisions are made in that regard. But it's going to be interesting moving forward because, like you said, I mean, there's going to be pressers after the games. I can't imagine Michigan State not doing media before all the rest of the games. And then the NCAA tournament, you're on a stage with national media there. So it's going to be interesting. But, again, I mean, I would be very surprised and very disappointed if either of those guys did something they shouldn't have done during any of these investigations.
Joe Rex Rose, sports columnist for the Tennessean and longtime Michigan State beat reporter. Joe, thank you so much for your time, my man.
Okay, thanks, Al. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. All right. Well, you heard the comments from Joe during his time covering the 2012 Summer Olympics and his interaction with Larry Nassar, as well as covering Jordan Weber and his thoughts on the future of Michigan State football and men's basketball as it pertains to Coach Izzo and Coach D'Antonio. We will have more on tomorrow's Current Sports. Much thanks to all of you out there for listening. Same time, same place on Tuesday, folks. I'm Al Martin. Be easy, people.